that many thoughts and many songs that we sing, you know, down in front or whatever, and we're singing various things, and many thoughts and things come from human intuition and the human spirit crying out to God and desiring, and the human mind in conjunction with the cry of your spirit and being moved upon by God. You must realize it. Everything thought and sung and said is not God directly speaking, pure revelation. We sing lots of things that come from the human mind and human spirit. We do not mean to pawn it off as direct from heaven down a cord that comes direct, that is never as faultless. If that's how you're taking it, that is not how we're trying to give it. That is not what we mean. You see, as we're healed, excited by the Spirit of God in our spirits, God's moving on us, flashes of revelation and truth illuminating His Word in our minds, we see different things. We might begin to sing this theology that we believe in. We might begin to sing another thought we get in connecting with it. Another wonderful truth hits our minds, an inspiration. God may inspire us. We may feel inspired in our spirit, our human mind. Everything we've got is putting together all these wonderful spiritual things. It's not flawless. It's God is moving on us, but it's not a thus saith the Lord. It's rising out of the human mind and spirit and sung and being set forth. And it is not that which is, you know, to be regarded as pure revelation. And this is not that God won't give a message to His people in song and word, because He does. But just realize everything that's happening here isn't, you know, pure direct revelation. See, God does a lot of illuminating that's not direct. You'll see things by the Spirit, you'll get ideas, intuition, so various things will hit you and so forth, and it is. And just as you're moved upon by God and you see things, and your computer will put these things together and you'll come up with things, and it isn't all pure direct, see. And a lot of it will be you along with God. Your mind will compute, as God gives you some things, you'll compute all kinds of other things and pull with it. You may be wrong in some of it. And you'll come and say, oh, let me show what God showed me. But God didn't show it all to you. You had one point He brought, and you put all the rest together, because your mind is so fast, you saw things, you interconnected it, put together, and you said, look what God showed me. And you gave 15 points, and God only showed you one of them. See, that happens. Not infrequently. We must understand that the revelation of God may be mixed with the human emotions and the human mind. My wife and I listened to a tape of a testimony given by a young lady. And we can't always tell, you can't always tell perfectly some things. But we could see that God may indeed have moved upon her and convicted her of certain things, because she was overbalanced in certain things, unbalanced, I should say. And God may have put His finger on certain things. God may have showed her certain things. He may have spoken to her heart. He may have convicted her. He may have led her. But it was clear that she missed on a number of things. A number of things were her own imagination. She was off on a number of things. She violated principles in a number of things. It's not a clear case of, therefore, none of us are the Lord, it's all of the Lord. Because the human mind and soul and your convictions and all the things you believe rush in to join with anything that God's dealing with you in, and it's easy to take it and blow it out and misunderstand it. Or blow it over. For example, if God is moving on you to convict you, pardon me, if He's moving on you, if you are interceding for some loved one, and He moves on, and you've been just travailing in the Spirit, and God, you can travail day and night and day and night, and so God moves upon you and says, all right, that's enough now, and He gives you a great peace, and He takes the burden off of you. Maybe you're praying that Uncle Alfred is going to be healed of his cancer and be saved. And the burden leaves you. It's so easy, and a great peace floods your soul, and a joy, and a victory. It's so easy to assume that what God is saying is, I'm going to heal Uncle Al and save him, and you won't have to worry. It's so easy to say, well, God showed me that. Because, see, God didn't show him anything. What really happened is God took the burden away and gave a great peace, and He assumed the rest. And a week later, Uncle Al dies. He may give his heart to the Lord just before he dies, but he dies. And so you've been wrong in part of it. The human mind has added a bit. It's easy to add a bit to what God is really doing, saying. And we need to be very, very careful. Everybody doesn't have a super logical, analytical mind where they really know what the, you know, and they don't even know. It's just a burst of emotions and all kinds of things, and they come up with this, and they don't even know. And it's so easy to assume that God told you. But see, God didn't tell. When God tells you, that means you're hearing a voice or something. He's telling you something. There's a difference in, I felt an impression. Don't go around and say, God told me this if you felt an impression. That's not telling, that's an impression. It's, I felt something, not he told me something. I felt a faith for this. I felt, try to accurately state what you really felt and what really happened. I felt and I thought that what God wanted to do as a result of this feeling. It seemed to me that I was getting impressed with this kind of, see, be accurate about it. And take the responsibility for that. Now, God does not want everybody to tell everybody about everybody. See, that's too much human imagination involved there. That everybody is now going to get revelations with everybody they pray with constantly. Everybody can learn everything about everybody. He's not going to tell you anything, everybody else. But now, on the other side, it is true that God uses each other. He uses the body. And so as you intercede and care for somebody else, he is going to be revealing some things of help. But beware of two specifics, all kinds of little details, and all kinds of other things, because just in general, you have to be careful of this. Now, here are the main cautions. I appreciate your patience in this. I'll try to run through this quickly. Here are the main cautions to watch for. If God comes and tells you, and I say God, I mean the devil, but I mean you think it's God. If God seems to say to you that you are elevated to teach the pastor, you better be careful. I'm not saying that I, you know, because you see, God will not put somebody, that puts somebody over here then. He's not going to put you up here. Even if you know more than me, he's not going to put you up here. You may come up here and you may be help fitting you with information, but he's not going to put you in a place where you are teaching me and you're now in this great place. He's not going to take any one person and put them up there. Be careful. This is things that have been happening in people's minds. And when they got free of it, they could see it so clearly it was of the devil. Be careful because they are being elevated so you have extra revelation. If you get to a place where you are unique in the whole body and you have some super extra revelation that nobody else has got and you're in a super place, you better watch out. Be very careful. The devil is tricking you. He's not going to just take you and put you up and way above everybody else. He's not going to do that. So be careful. Be careful if he wants to elevate you and you have got extra love, extra humility, extra power, extra calling. You've got a calling above anybody else. You're going to be great. You're way above. I mean, you'll be the one. Be careful of that special messianic ministry for you. You see, what he's got for you in love and humility and power and so forth, he's got for the rest. Be careful when this spirit begins to help you to know that you know everything about everybody you're with. When you get to know everything about everybody you're with, you get such super insights to everybody's life and heart that you know everything all the time. You had better be careful. Now, a word of caution. There are those in the assembly that God has been using, and they've been using in a ministry, and showing God showing through, and that and they've got and here's what you'll be most vulnerable, because the people already have respect for these people. I'm talking about maybe a dozen people now. They've already got respect for these people. Their ministry is already verified, proven. Many things that they say and feel come to pass and are verified. And therefore, they have great confidence, you know, and the spouse has got confidence in them, and they begin to know, and some of those people, I can tell you right now, some of those people know too much. their own imaginations are involved. I mean, God is using them. But here's where you have to be careful, because in the place where you feel like, but my case is different, you then can overrun God, because it's so easy to know everything and say things and trust yourself, and everybody else is trusting you. And I'm going to caution you, you are one of those that the devil will come to. Sweetheart or not, revelation or not, he'll try to push you off the end. And I already know that some of these people are going beyond God. Not willingly. They would never do so willingly. And I know, you see, you have to be careful of what seems to be verified. People are too simplistic when they assert that their revelations are verified. They see a couple of things and they do not analyze every detail and see the things that are not. If they can find a point or two it is, they assume the thing is word for word verified, and it's not. There were little trouble areas, things that don't quite add up, things that don't fit. Sometimes people say, oh, that was right on, God showed me that. But what they didn't tell you is, I don't equate with this part at all. They didn't tell you that. Didn't seem to fit at all. And there's little places they're not seeing. All they can see is what does fit. They're not seeing what doesn't fit. They're getting themselves into it somewhat. I just say, be careful. Now, be careful if you hear God talking all the time. If God's always talking to you, you better be careful. If God tells you when to move and when not to move, when to talk and when not to talk, things like this. This has happened to some people. God tells me, don't talk until I tell you. Don't move your hands down just till I tell you. And I'll tell you, you know, don't move from this position till I tell you. God is not controlling your body movements like you're on a puppet. When you begin to feel like you cannot move your body or self and so forth, you better be careful. When I was trying to get a certain individual to talk to me, he was clammed up, eyes shut, Gosney would not talk. And I said, you're wasting your pastor's time. Now you snap out of this. Now what's happening here, don't trust that spirit. And when he came out, well, God told him, don't talk or move. I'll give you permission when, and when I do, then the pastor will know, and so forth, and the whole principle was wrong. It was just the devil binding the man so he could not talk or anything, come over for appointment, and waste the pastor's time. I wasn't so interested in the pastor's time as using that as one of the things to help break and get him, because he did not want to waste his pastor's time. He felt keenly about that. That was one thing that would help snap him out of it. And I was saying the things to help him come out of this thing. And then he admitted that this thing, see, you have to be careful of those things. Be careful when God seems to tell you to do strange things and non-spiritual things, mundane things. He begins to tell you, you know, don't let the cat in. Or he begins to tell you about, you know, do this, you know. If anything, that is, God works in spiritual areas. And when he begins to tell you a lot of mundane things, you better watch out. Be careful when God seems to tell you to act for others, to take responsibility. God comes down upon you as a wife and says, God does not want your television. He doesn't want your husband fishing and hunting. Take all that stuff and burn it. And the husband comes home and says, hey, where's the television and the fishing and my hunting? What's all that burning going on I smell? Well, God told me today to burn it all. See, God will never usurp authority. He will not cause a family fight and a church fight by telling you to take the authority that doesn't belong to you. See, God won't do that. He will not say, wife, you throw away your daughter's medicine. And the husband comes home and says, where's the daughter's medicine? God told me to throw it away. How about the husband? See, he doesn't work independent, underneath, contrary to the other. Now, if he's leading you to do that, and you need to talk to him about it and tell him about it, he's going to have to accept it. What if he doesn't accept it? And you can't push it, can you? And you can't do a thing about it. You just have to pray. You just have to pray. Because God is not in to try to split things up by having you usurp authority over somebody else. Because you may be wrong. And the authority comes first. Remember that. God never causes people to break authority. to a super authority of the eldership and have you do what the elders are supposed to be doing or the pastor or somebody else is supposed to be doing. He never does that. God asks you, God will not ask you if you're willing to give up your life physically for the body. We've had two people in this assembly that God asked them if they're willing to give their life for the body. I said, no, Jesus already gave his life once and for all for the body. We don't need your life physically. We need you alive, not dead. We need you a willing sacrifice. God doesn't want you to give. See, these are demonic spirits lying to God's people. One happened a long time ago and one happened recently. Be careful if your mind is constantly racing. God does not constantly race through your mind. He doesn't work that way. If your mind is racing all the time, you've got a problem and it's not God. Be careful if you start talking in strange voices. If you get spiritual and tell, I am just healed, be careful. I mean, there's an anointed voice of God, but that strange voice is not of the Lord. Be careful if God won't let you sleep. If you're thrilled because God keeps you awake all night, every night, and you get no sleep, you better watch out. God comes to give his beloved sleep, the scripture says. He's designed you to live in this machinery that requires sleep, and he's not going to violate it by causing you to run this engine 100 miles an hour day and night until you burn it up. That's not God's revelation. I mean, you might feel so much of the Lord that you're so nervous, you're so excited that you won't sleep. But, you know, you can yield and yield and yield. God's put this thing in your hands, my brother. If you blame this enough, you can pray 24 hours a day and praise God 24 hours a day, and you cannot eat, not sleep, not even go to the bathroom. You can let natural functions take place as you stand there and praise God. You could do that. I mean, if you're blameless enough, and you can feel God's glory all the time, that you're getting weaker and weaker and more messed up too. Because you can yield to God. See, he's put this in the hands of man. There's too much Calvinism in the world. There's too much of this. God's got me on a string and God's got me and I can't do anything else because God's got me. No, my brother. If you yield to God, he'll be there. Don't pray that God will take you into the glory when you're flying an airplane, piloting it yourself. Use your brain. When you're driving high speed down the road in a motorcycle, don't get into the glory. Stay out of it. See? You can feel God's presence and crash up. See, this is what God led me. No, my brother, you yielded to the Spirit, and so the Spirit says, all right, he will move with your spirit. Your brain has to control you. And the principles he's put there. And don't forget it. This being led around on a string by God is a myth. You yield to God and he'll work with you as you yield to him. And you can have enough sense to know when to do it, how to do it, and how not to do it. And once you know this, it'll save you from, well, I had to do it because God said so. And the pastor says, no, but I got to because God said so. It'll free you from that and know you don't have to do any such thing. And if God gives you, puts in your heart to give a message, and the pastor says no, you won't even be worried about it because you have the understanding that God doesn't want you to violate anything that the authorities say no on, and you won't feel compelled like we missed it for a night. See, there might be, in a move of God, 300 people here at once that feel led to give a testimony when there's no time but for three. That does not mean 297 missed God's will. But if you got this pseudo-Calvinism, then you will feel like God wanted me, but I didn't get a chance. You all were torn up inside, and the eldership wouldn't let me. You don't get that feeling. Because you know that isn't what God's doing. It's as you yield to God, you get inputted by the Spirit, and hundreds of people can give things. It doesn't mean God's leading you to do it. It means he's inputting you with revelation. Hundreds of you can get up and move in the Spirit all at once. But you can only move one at a time. And it doesn't mean God's got me on a string. It means you are now in a position that time permitting and all things moving, you could move in God as it fits, be sensitive. That's why God says, let the prophet speak one at a time, and so forth. Because it isn't God having him on a string. Even the prophets are supposed to know the principles and abide by it. Now, remember, the spirit that says he is God may not be God. Just remember that. We have had a number of people over the years in this assembly that spirits have told that they were God, that was an evil spirit. A number of people. One girl, God led her and told her to send a Thompson Chain Bible to the Pope. Well, he didn't even read English, I don't think. But he's got his own Bible. He's not going to pay attention to a Thompson Chain Bible coming from somebody. You see, people get so confused. I can tell you all kinds of silly things that the devil has told people in the name of God. I've had people give me a sermon that was right from the devil. Absolutely. I mean, it was not just a student doing something. It was so full of unusual and strange esoteric revelation that you wouldn't believe it. From a student who didn't have the one-tenth the ability to write what he wrote. But the same person was going around thinking he was Michael the Archangel, too. I mean, really, dressing totally in white and doing other things. And so you got to be careful. Because if the devil can tempt you by inputting your mind, he can put things in your mind that aren't of God. And don't get the idea that because you love God and so forth, the devil won't come along and try to trick you. You have to be careful about angels of light that don't line up to God's word. Now, if you flip out, I mean flip out, being in a position, and you not trust in the leadership, and will not believe them when they come to you. If we come to you and say, brother, you all flipped out, and you say, oh no, I have got this call of God. You don't understand, Pastor. I mean, God's showing me things about you. You don't understand, way uphill. And he says, brother, you've got a demon spirit. Be careful. If you don't trust, it'll be worse for you than if you'd never experienced the move of God at all. Far better if you had remained dry and just followed the word dry than to ever move into the realms of the Spirit and be snared by a lying spirit that would take you off in some trip and ruin your life. Far better you go too slow than too fast. Now, this is what you should do. One, intercede in prayer for protection of this body and for protection of yourself and for victory in this body and of yourself. Not just love Jesus. You should not spend 100% of your time just loving Jesus. You that want to come and spend all your time just loving Jesus, no. You have got an obligation to intercede for the body. You have got something to do besides love. You cannot be a housewife and just romance. You've got kids to take care of. You've got dishes to do. You've got a house to take care of. If you don't take care of your own house, you're worse than an infidel. You cannot just be out ministering and not take care of the things that you have to take care of, that your responsibility, or you're worse than an infidel, God says. You cannot just love Jesus, but that is not the total calling of God. That's not the total Bible. The rest of the Bible gives you a responsibility to pray for one another and to minister to one another. And you need to spend some time in English in prayer and some time in the Spirit in prayer. And then you need to take also time to love Him. You cannot just pray either. You need to love. You need to love and receive love. But not exclusive. Like Solomon said, there's a time for everything. And you must make time for everything. Now, you need to be godly, not super spiritual. In other words, obey God's work and walk holy. Don't go around being just so spiritual. See? Just live by the book, godly, yield to the Lord, resist the devil, and just do what God wants you to do in a normal mind. Not in this real holiness. See, just to deal with them benevolently, loving, kindly, in a right way. Let God's anointing come to them. Love them, care for them, deny yourself. That will bring the holiness. Number three, be totally submitted to the church government and to God with all faith. Number four, and I don't mean by that you to believe that they are gods, know all, see all, can never make a mistake, or not be human. That's not what I'm talking about. Number four, keep your pastor aware of all suspicious actions of anybody so we can help everybody If we ever need to, we can get to them and help them. Keep us tied in. Care for one another enough to keep us tied in. In other words, call the doctor if somebody's bleeding to death. Don't just pass the rumor on to all your other bed patients. Next, don't allow your mind to be besieged. God doesn't overpower your mind, race through it and besiege it and just tear your mind to pieces. You can't even stop and think. Don't allow your mind to be besieged. Don't allow yourself to be lifted up. If anyone wants to come and lift you up, say, oh no. God wants to take and bring me to the foot of the cross. He'll magnify you in the ministry as you are nothing. He's not going to lift you up in your mind and spirit. That's not what he's going to do. He's take you and do this to you. You're too far from that. We got to go down, and in that position of being down, he'll use us for his glory. Now, next, check everything with the principles carefully. Don't just check the things that fit. See if there's anything that doesn't fit. Check everything with the principles carefully. Next, realize some things appear to be confirmations that are not confirmations. It's too broad. It's too coincidental. It's not positive. There may be some things that don't fit. It may not all fit. Don't make everything fit because a part of it fits. Be careful in your to be objective in your thinking and in your analyzation. Next, resist the devil, resist pride, and resist an independent spirit. Thank you. Next, re-listen to the past tapes of principles. If there's any questions in your mind about any of these things, go back when we gave all these principles a few months back and re-listen to those principles or reread your notes on them and get it in your mind to get good and firm. If you're involved in areas where you think you might need this for protection. Next, have your friends that are not here tonight that you feel are in a position maybe to need this now to listen to this, to the tape of this service tonight. Next, and last, don't panic because of what we said tonight. Withdraw spiritually and get all paranoid and don't do anything because the devil might take a hold of me. Don't back up in the spirit. Just keep it in check. Now, quickly, let me, and I'm almost done. Quickly, you see, if God gives you revelation, you can go overboard with revelation. You can get revelations that are not of God and get your mind so full of revelation, become so revelation you can mess everything up and people up and yourself up. That doesn't mean that we want to throw away all revelation. The church has got to have the revelation of God. We've got to have that light. It's God's will. It's his word. So we are obligated to have revelation and keep it straight, not throw it away because it can be used excessively. I mean, we can go overboard with it. The gifts of the Spirit can be misused. We cannot afford to throw away the gifts, therefore. We must learn to rightly use them and hold them in check, not throw them away because we might overuse them. You cannot afford to throw your automobile away because you might overdrive or overuse. You cannot afford to do these things. You cannot afford to throw love away because you might misuse it, get into the physical and natural. You cannot afford to do that. You have got to love in the spirit and keep it out of the physical. And if you make mistakes, you've got to correct it. You can't throw it away because you might make some mistakes or you have made some mistakes. You cannot throw away unity because you might get so exclusive and join together and get off balance. You cannot throw away. We've got to have unity. You can't throw away faith because your faith can outrun your head and you can do stupid things. We've got to have faith in God. You can't throw knowledge away because you can think you know so much and get carried away. You can ruin yourself. You've got to have knowledge. And finally, you can't throw manifestations away because somebody might get in the flesh. We've got to have God manifesting himself through us. P.S. Avoid laying your hands in a way that might evoke any sexual feelings, physical feelings, in the opposite sex or even the same sex. Now, we used to say, and for right reasons, we say, well, you know, as far as just praying is concerned, men pray with the men and women pray with the women for obvious reasons. But now, since God is using a lot of intercessors and a lot of women who are in that ministry, because God gives women more ministries of ministering to people rather than leadership than men, and so it's not unusual that more women have that nature and ability to get in and minister. It's like Paul talks about the women that ministered into my necessities. He's given women, boy, I think this is fantastic, he's given women the heart to minister to God's people, and that's so marvelous to me. Much more prevalent to find women with a heart to minister in this way than men, although men will be there too. And so women have a position, and because they've been a great blessing with many, we're not trying to turn that around right now. Now, this has not been a problem with me. And I'll have to admit, I have felt such a blessing. It's hard to explain, but spiritually, to have 20 hands on me instead of 3, to just feel, Lord, the body of Christ is ministering to me. To feel another hand come up here and say, oh, another one ministering to this pastor, and needs another one here, and another one here. It to me, it's been a strength and a comfort and a blessing. I felt so appreciated. But it's been my information that there are some people, some particularly younger men and so forth, that have had a little bit of fleshly stimulus. And so they could be impacted, and particularly young people, you know, that have still got the sex glands already racing, you know, so to speak. Be careful that we don't cause any reactions in the wrong way or any problem. Put your hands on your heads and your shoulders and various things. If you feel that God is giving you revelations and so forth, please turn them in to us. Write them down and turn them in so we can evaluate. We're going to be asking certain people, don't trust those revelations anymore because there's too many things wrong with them. Other people, they're generally right, but be cautious. We cannot have, I'm stopping with this, we cannot have everybody independently prophesying, singing revelations, telling revelations to each other all over the body without us knowing about it. We could tear the entire church up with people, imaginations, with a good heart, but the mind racing, imaginations, emotions, even the enemy coming in, and not being able to keep everything clear in their minds. Everything is being said in the name of revelation, I promise you, is not. But that doesn't mean that nothing is. And so that which equates for the things of the Spirit that's right on, that also, see, and we might not always be able to tell, but if we don't run wild with it, we subject it to this church. I haven't told you everything we knew was wrong. You've gotten some idea. You've gotten some things that I have known weren't right, and I never corrected it. You don't, but I cannot stop everything, but we're working on it. And on stopping what needs to be stopped. And so you're going to be getting some things that are not. But if you live by the principles and by the word, don't take any one thing and run off with it. Don't take any revelation given you by any saint of God here that you are a prophet or you are to be done this or that or anything and run off. Don't make any action on the result of anybody's revelation. The revelation should be comfort, strength, encouragement in things that are already taught and already well known, that you know that if they never told you. You know it and they know it, and it's clear-cut principle. There will be some things outside of that which will follow the principles, but it may be showing what the devil's trying to do to your life or something. If he's trying to do that and you see he is, then avoid it. If you don't know if it's true, avoid it anyway. Don't do anything that would be risky if it were wrong. If it's may not be right, but if it's safe to do it, regardless, and it's better to do it, regardless, then do it. Go back and re-listen to the principles if you need to. So there are all ways not to worry about these things. If it's this classification, you can do whether it's right or not, not worry about it. You see, the big thing isn't whether it's God or not. It's just safety and doing right. And whether it's of God or not, whether it's direct from God, he impressed it upon him, whether it's their own mind or their own knowledge, it's immaterial if it follows the principles and you need it, and you can follow it and get gained by it. But don't do anything that requires God alone, otherwise you wouldn't do it. You better check with your pastor before you do that. Because God will not lead independently to one individual your life like this. He leads to encouragement, exposures that you will equate with, you'll know about. It's safe things all the time. When he's getting from the body, it'll always be safe things that you already know. God bless you. I don't think we'll take that tonight. God's just showing her, giving her a vision of how the devil wants to come in and take people that are not fully submitted and begin to mess them up and so forth. It's a good testimony, but we won't take it tonight. I kind of encourage you to sit here ready for it. My wife wants to make a point, and we're going to close here.
I'm getting so many requests for appointments for you who feel that God's using you and the gift of the word of knowledge and prophecy and so forth, and there's no way that I have time to sit down with each one of you and give you 45 minutes of time, as you tell me these things. And so rather than send me a note saying, I've got to talk to you because God's using me in this way, would you please just write to me the details of how you feel he's using you, so that I have it there on the paper and I can review it then, and then I'll get back with you and give you direction.
Okay, thank you. I need to say just one more thing. Listen, don't think that God wants to use you for healing of lengthening of legs because somebody was getting prayed for and you felt urgent to go over and pray with them also, and something like this. God does not come down and give you a gift and wants you to start in that just because you felt urged one time or even twice, or you feel somehow that just feel that my faith will help. I should go up and pray for him. I could go up and pray for him. But when God gives something, it will be much more substantial and much more clear than a feeling you got while sitting on the bench that I should do something. It will be a constant calling and confirmation and building that will work in you for months. It will build and work and be significant and be large. God doesn't just call you with a will of the wisp, a little tiny feeding you got, and now, Paul, I think God wants me to go out and may have another healing ministry. Too many people think they have healing ministries because they feel a compassion for somebody, or they feel in the spirit to go join. Many saints will feel to go join. That doesn't mean you have a unique gift. Make sure that you weigh this thing, and it's a big, impacting, moving, building, goading work. Just be praying with people. Just pray with them as a saint until you see God doing miracles through your hands. Somebody get a cold, pray for them as a saint, not with it as a gift. Don't pawn yourself off as one with a gift. Just pray for people. Feel the heart of God. Let them keep working in you. Keep praying for the saints until you see it's working like this. And then you write the whole report of how it's really working. And then we know God's using you that way. Don't take a quick little thing. Let it prove itself and build itself. Okay, we've taken your time. Would you stand, please? I don't even, this clock is out, so I'll blame it all on this clock. Hallelujah. Come to the piano, please, brother. I don't know how to close this yet, but let's just see. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. You know, see, through the teaching and through knowing the strategy, the devil's going to be defeated. And the very thing he's going to do, he's got a big setup plan. He's come in to do it, and we're ruining his setup. And as we cooperate, he won't be able to get it off the ground. It's going to fall. And he may get a few people a little bit lopsided, but we're going to get in and rescue him immediately. His plan will be defeated because we are working together. And as we see his plans and we tell you and you implement it and you join with us and you intercede, every plan he gives is going to be defeated. We're going to lose a few if they won't join with us. But the rest, we together will defeat his plans as they come along, as God reveals. But we must be faithful to join in and intercede and overcome them and put ourselves in a place we cannot take advantage of us.
You know, it really isn't hard when God is moving on you and you're moving in that place in the Spirit and it's God. I've experienced, what it is to have my spirit moving in God and things coming from my spirit and my mind getting involved, etc. And then I've also experienced that clear-cut thing from the Lord, you see, and there's such a difference in the two. They're completely different. And so once you experience this over here, then you'll be able to more accurately discern this. But until you've experienced this, then it is a little more difficult. But when it happens, it's wonderful, it's clear, and so you don't have to fear that which God does.
Now, sweethearts, you sweethearts out there, please, I just remember I have to make an announcement before you close. We are not able to take care of the logistics of the multiplication of tapes, the pickup of tapes, the recording of tapes, the return of tapes, the recycling of tapes by the hundreds necessary for the Christian Parenthood and Song of Solomon tape classes. We have determined that we are unable to handle it at this period of time and in the foreseeable future. Number two, evening classes will not be available until next semester for the Song of Solomon class and the Christian Parenthood class. So even Bible college, all right, but we will not be able to have these classes like we thought on tape for several important reasons. We tried and we had much study on it. They will be offered, however, next semester in the spring at a substantial discount. The classes will be a tape class from this semester, played on a tape recorder, next semester at substantial discounts in the evening on Tuesday night. There will be audit classes only, no credit. Number three and last, this semester we will be only able to offer regular day classes only. There's already something like 228 or something people in Christian Parenthood class. It's always like 180 or 60 or something in the Song of Solomon class. They're already big. They'll be in the chapel. But the parents of the Christian school who have Christian school children have an extra financial burden. If they're also supporting this church through tithing, with this year in the day classes, which are regular classes, there will be a substantial discount. If you have waited to get these evening classes this semester, either wait till next semester or sign up for a day class this semester. Try to sign up between 2 and 4 p.m. in the college office unless you absolutely cannot make that time. Thank you for your time.